Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
What we're going to talk about, it ain't over until God says it's over. Oftentimes, people are willing to throw in the towel. They're facing so many circumstances and so many things around the world, and you come to a point where you can be so depressed, so dejected, rejected, hurt, that you're so tempted to say, why am I doing this anymore? Why is it worth it? Is it worth it? And you just come to a point where even the strongest are saying, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to give up. I've been holding, fighting, standing. And it's not making a difference. Mm-hmm. And now you're allowing the circumstance, you're allowing the naysayers, you're allowing those that have attacked you to get so in your mind that you're about to give up. I want to encourage you today. We want to encourage you to say, listen, it's not over. It ain't over until God says it's over. I want you to listen to this segment. Be encouraged. And we'll talk more about it here in a minute.
It's just hard to explain quite often that God has so much to say about what's going on, and there's so many encouraging words. You know, I got a chance to minister just yesterday talking about it ain't over till God says it's over. And God is a God that he this is how he always works. He waits until it looks like it's over when Adam and Eve ate the apple in the garden. I mean, it's got to be over. What are you doing? I'm hiding from God right now. I have apple dripping from my face.
Stuck applesauce.
Yeah, applesauce. I got apple skin in my teeth. And it's not apple, but we're just using it as an analogy. I'm sure Apple's a good company. And and then, you know, in their digestive tract, you know, in their stomachs, is laying the sin of their choices. And you hear his boom, boom. Boom. I mean, this God walking through the garden, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And all of a sudden, Adam looks at Eve and goes, what did you do? You know, and she said, you ate it too.
Don't you love when God asks the question, where are you?
Yeah. And then so here he comes, you know, God's getting closer and closer. You know, Adam and Eve are going, it's over. We had all this beautiful house that he gave us. We had this wonderful job. We had this great nation that he gave us. We had this wonderful family, all these different things. And now we chose to do what he told us not to do. And he's getting closer. And think about it, right?
Yeah.
That's right. You know, and you think about it, he told us not to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we did it, and he's getting closer. And all of a sudden, we just start looking for places, right?
That's right.
Places to hide. I got to get a second job. You know what I'm saying? If maybe I'll move out of town. Well, Google's proven don't matter where you move nowadays.
Nah, they'll find you.
You know, I get my car in a hurry so the cameras can't catch me too much. But I do have my phone with me so they know where my dot is. That's what I can say. I can say I was not there. Go check my dot.
Yeah,
my beacon was there when I saw I ran anyway, which I'd love to tell that story someday. But I mean, you know, that anxiety that they must have felt, you know, it looked like it was over. And right. You may be listening to this morning, you know, you're thinking the very same thing. I hear you are like, oh my goodness, I was deceived. You know, I was deceived as a father, as a mother, as a family, as a person, a believer, and I was blinded by my own lust for more and things and stuff and money and whatever it was, and I bit the forbidden fruit. I bit it. When you hang your head in shame and you're thinking, no, don't invite the minister over right now.
Yeah.
your wife says, let me just call the pastor. No,
not today. Not right now.
Or the husband says to the wife, let's just go to counseling. I will not. Or the children, you know. I mean, the whole thing is, you think about it. And so, but then God shows up when it looks like it's totally over. And he provides a way out. A lot of people say, you know, well, God threw them out of the garden. No, he didn't. He didn't throw them out of the garden. He prevented them from reaching up and eating from the tree of life and living forever in an eternal fallen state. If they would have ate from the tree of life, they would have lived forever in a fallen state. So he ushered them out. He killed an animal. There was a sacrificial animal. He used the skin of the animal to cover them. So the sacrifice of the animal, the blood covered their sin, but it didn't forgive their sin. But he made a way. I mean, he made a way. I want to encourage you right now, because you're looking at things in society. I mean, what the enemy is trying to do continually is to get you to lock in to the lie that says it's over.
That's right.
You know, and it's not over until God says it's over. But by the way, when God says it's over, it's over. You remember Eli? Mm-hmm. Eli, I'll never forget that. As a new believer, I was reading about the priest Eli, who was chosen by God. And he was... Samuel was being raised up. A prophet of God was being raised up. And this is why Eli's don't like Samuels. You know, and he's being raised up in the house of God and the temple of God where the priests were ministering there. And he asleep by the he would sleep by the ark. I mean, he would sleep right there by the presence of God. I mean, he was so, you know, in tune with God. Not Eli, but Samuel did. And all of a sudden, this man who was into sin, this man who refused to do things God's way anymore, this the man that didn't deal with the priests that was going on, the things that was happening, he just let it continue to happen, that would just sent the ark out for whatever reason, sent the presence of God out for whatever reason. He still knew how to hear from the voice of God. He remembered what it was like hear from the voice of God. And so Samuel comes to him and says, because Samuel hears his name, and he goes, what do you need? Eli, I was sleeping by God's presence. Do you need me really? You know? And he goes, well, that wasn't me, you know. And he comes back, he goes asleep again, and again he hears his name, and he goes back to Eli, and then Eli says, that's God.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting that those who no longer hear from God can let you know what it was like when they did? You'd think they'd go back and say, you know, I want to hear from him too. Let's just go meet with God together. Right. But there's a reason why he didn't, because he said, well, go listen to him, find out what he's saying, and come back. It's a dangerous thing for you to say.
Yeah, right.
This is what you say. Let's pray fast, check ourselves, see if we're in the faith, you know, get back in God's word again, abide with him. Let's pray. And then, I mean, even Ahab knew how to do this, right?
That's one of my famous last words. My goodness.
Yeah, no, Ahab knew to fast and pray and rip his clothes. And God turned, you know, in the beginning of what Ahab's doing. Right. But Eli said, yeah, he was so familiar with God. Just find out what he wants. You know, I'm sure he wants you to tell the widow lady up the street that she needs a blessing or something like that. I don't know. And so that, and then he goes away and hears from God. When he comes back, he says, well, be it. May God deal with you ever so severely. Don't ever say that. May God deal with you ever so severely.
No, you don't want to do that.
And for the King James, may God dealeth with you ever so severely. He said, okay, I'll tell you. And he said, because you wouldn't deal with your sons, because you wouldn't deal with the priest, because you wouldn't, you just took lightly the things of God. You just shunned me. You just took my business over and made it your own. Mm-hmm. And he says, the priesthood's going to be removed from ever in your life. And, you know, your whole lineage, pain, the sword will never leave your... And it's like, dude, Samuel, come on, dude. Don't you know we've been... You know, and he delivered this word. But this is the thing Eli said, though. It was pretty interesting. You know, before his sons died and before he... fell and broke his neck, he said, well, God said it. Therefore it is. I mean, it was over for Eli.
Right.
But let me tell you, that's a rarity, because Eli could have, before he sent somebody to hear from the voice of the Lord in his own home, he could have checked himself, but he forgot who God was, and he forgot the ways of God, you know, and so... But it's not over until God says it's over.
That's right.
Even when, you know, I'm saying this, I believe, because somebody's listening today, and you're thinking it's over. But if you look back in your history, there's many times you thought it was over. You thought it was over. You thought your relationship was going to come to an end. You thought, you know, you were going to lose a child, or you thought you were going to lose your job, and it would never be over. You would never get a job again, or you were going to, you know, whatever. and it just you had the enemy just bombarded you with, it's over. Mm. It's over. And it's not right. over till God says it's over.
That's right.
It's so important. Right. It's so important. Remember, if you're God's, or if you're not God's, but you want God to be your Lord, and that's a perfect time when God's saying it's about to be over for you,
yeah.
that you can make Jesus your Lord. And guess what? It won't be over for you. Right. Life as you knew it may be different, but it's not going to be over for you. I mean, you think about everything. I mean, you look at Abraham and Sarah. Here they were. You know, God said, "Get thee up and go, and I'll make you a great nation." And they made mistakes, did all those kind of different things, but it just never happened to the point where their bodies were good as dead. They couldn't have babies no more.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't have babies no more. So it looked like it was over. It looked like, I mean, he just began with Abraham. And there is no child. There's no child coming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's over. Right. It's got to be over, right?
And no seen way in the natural that it could come.
Yeah, and he tried to make it happen, and we're still dealing with that issue today. When he, you know, his wife said, "I got an idea. You seen the, you know, our housekeeper here? Really? Now Hagar, right?
That's the truth."
And they believed that the housekeeper, their slave, or you know, that that they would have a child if they actually had it sitting in your lap. If Hagar had Abraham's child while Hagar was sitting in the lap of Sarah having the child, then it would be Sarah's child.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm sure Hagar's going, really? That was me screaming. That was me going through that. And then you take my child? That's crazy. But it looks like it's happening today, don't it?
Sarah. I think there was a little resentment back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she got so upset that she just took off. And even though it was Sarah and Abraham's mistake or sin, that she just got upset and she took off. And she was in the wilderness and it looked like it was over for her.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was over. I mean, think about it. They used her. They abused her. They tried to take her child. They tried to promote her child. And then when the truth came, you know, they had to release and tell her, listen, everything I told you wasn't right because mm-hmm. I stepped ahead of God and I have to step back. And they're thinking you can just throw away your mistakes. But God's going, no. It's not over for them either, right? Because she's out there in the wilderness and she just went out to die. Matter of fact, it was Sarah's idea in the first place. Right. But then Sarah goes, send that woman away.
Right.
You know, it's like, don't you cause this? Aren't you the one that was stirring all this problem up here? And now you're telling me. I was like, another story. And so then she's out there in the wilderness. It looks like it's totally over, but God shows up to their mistake, to where, because they're human beings, mm-hmm. human beings were hurt in the process and were produced in the process. And he said, listen, he said, I want you to go back, but I want to make your son a great nation.
Mm.
And you think, what's going on? Well, what's going on was, when Abraham and Sarah thought it was over, they turned to their own strength. And this is very important right now. During this time, we're seeing great things that looks as projecting and prognosticating that it's over. It's just not over. It's just not over. I mean, think about it. It wasn't over for them, and it's not over for you. Not over till God says it's over. And you think about, I mean, every single time, I mean, you can go through the entire, but think about David and Saul. David was a chosen man by God. Saul, another chosen man by God, was trying to kill David. I mean, it's got to be over when one minister is trying to kill another, right? I mean,
oh, for sure.
And both of them are chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that is happening. You have two men who are anointed by God, and the thing that people don't understand was that Saul lost his call, but the anointing was still there until he was no longer there anymore. He was living on yesterday's groceries, you know what I'm saying? But he was. He was still anointed as king, and David understood, don't lay your hands on God's anointed. So he honored him even when he was trying to kill him.
Mm.
You know, you throw a sword at the dinner table, a big spear, you know, pass the ketchup and the spear. You know? I mean, it's got to be over when the king's chunking spears at you.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that he's a chosen man by God to be able to be king. You think about it. But they don't know, but you've been chosen as well. And that's what embitters the present day man, is because he knows his days are numbered, unless he repents. Because Saul could have repented.
Sure.
And then, so David's running for his life. You know, he's running for his life. It's got to be over when you're running for your life. He just tried to play his guitar. He just tried to do what he was told to do. And
killed a couple of giants, you know, giants.
Yeah, killed a couple, killed giants that everybody was hiding from. You know, he was sent out to get 100 Philistines foreskins, and I got like, 300, I believe, or something like that, or that's the Philistines, they know. And where he was sent out to kill thousands, and you know, he would kill 10,000s, and all of a sudden his statistics, his Facebook had more likes on it than. Is that so funny? That's true, isn't it? And so he had more likes on his Facebook than Saul had, and Saul began to get jealous because he turned on the radio. Song, and the song was, you know, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And it's like David's going, please don't sing that.
Let's
song.
Not bring this up.
You don't understand who I work for. Let's just stay low. Let's stay cool. I mean, it looks like it's over, right? It's like hit the airways, like it's number one on the top 10 songs singing now, and he knows it's got to be over now because he had private issues, but now he's got public issues. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he has to run for his life. He goes and makes his wife tells her, says, listen, throw some stuff in the bed and make it look like me. It'd take more stuff to throw the covers for me. That's not him. That's a broom. Anyway, so then, you know, he runs out the window and starts to run for his life. I mean, it's got to be over when you're making like a fake person under your covers and the man who was chosen by God to lead his peoples after you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got to be over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I'm encouraging you right now, if you're listening to us, it ain't over until God says it's over.
That's right.
Understand that David, God was working out his will, you know, in the whole situation. You know, what men mean for evil, God means for good. So, and so here's David. He's running. I mean, he's running to a point he finally finds a cave. I mean, not a cheap hotel. At least got some air blowing over you that does smell like an ashtray. I found that why you don't get cheap hotel rooms.
Oh my goodness.
I slept in an ashtray. You know, I didn't sleep. I stayed for about a microsecond. I'm like, oh my goodness. Is this what an ashtray feels like? Anyway, so it's like, do you have one that just has pets in it? You know, anyway. and so he's running for his life. He gets to a cave. And it looks, it's got to be over. I mean, you're in a cave. I'm sure you didn't have cable in or nothing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was out there and he's just like, he's like, oh my goodness. What do I do? What do I do? Dear God. And he starts writing some Psalms. You can see some Psalms. The Psalms like, oh my God, the king is trying to kill me. Dear God, Selah, you know, help me. And, but you are good and you're coming, right? And so he's writing these songs. And then finally somebody shows up to help him. It's broke, busted, left-handed, disgusted, government-hating, you know, people. 300 of them, right? Something like that.
That's right.
They hate it. They hated everything. It's like, no, I don't hate the government. I don't hate what God's established. You're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some misfits. And then he's like, it's got to be over now.
Just join me.
Yeah, because David was not those people. No. David was not those people. That is not David's heart. Remember, David was for the king. David's for God. David did everything that God required of him. But now, right, others who are doing things God required, you know, it's like, you're ruining my reputation. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to think I was doing, you know, that kind of thing. And so it looks like it's over at that point, right? I mean, it was already bad enough in the cave, but now you got 300 sweaty, I'm sure they didn't have right guard. Like that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And anyway, so...
I turn left.
I know. Is there ventilation in this cave? And so here, it's got to be over, right? I mean, it's got to be over. It ain't over till God says it's over. And I'm talking to you this morning. Mm-hmm. Realize it's not over. The reason why you're hearing so much stuff on the news and the radio, and you need to start listening to VFN radio, and don't listen to what the world's saying, because the purpose of them being held captive and their tongues to speak into your life is to get you to convince it's over, so you'll lock your faith into it being over instead of lock your faith into the reality that God moves when men think it's over, that's when God does his best work. That's when he brings glory to his name. I mean, think about it. I mean, he's running for his life. He's going from the cave of Adullam and all these different caves. He's running. And I mean, Saul's out looking for him. He's like, don't you have a job? Yes. What are you doing?
Yeah, right.
What are you doing dragging me down? You know, it's like, come on, I'm out here. Listen, I left. You know, don't just stay away. Mm-hmm. And he's out hunting them up. But no matter what happens, of course, you know, Saul's just bent on trying to destroy him. And God was really training David up. And you have to understand that. It's not over. God was in all that. Because God sent that spirit on Saul to be able to work him up so that he will work David over so David would not be another Saul. Mm-hmm. Because Saul had no process, and David had lots and lots of process. Mm-hmm. And process is important because your gifting can take you places that your character can't keep
you.
That's
right.
And so here, it's got to be like it's over. It's totally over. And but it wasn't over. It was not over. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because all of a sudden, one day, out the middle of nowhere, while Saul was out trying to deal with his flesh. I mean, Saul was out trying to deal with the Philistines. I mean, when you read about Philistines, you think about flesh. I mean, it's got to be over. He's having this huge turmoil with his flesh, and it just won't stop. And it's, all of a sudden, he's just given over to it, right? Mm-hmm. He's given over to the Philistines, right? That's what happens. If you stay on that trail of destruction and follow the adversary's ways in darkness, there'll be a day like Samson that we won't come back from it. Mm. And that's when it becomes over, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like it's over. I mean, David's like in a whole other place now. He's totally okay with it. He has no more business cards to say. I will be the number two king.
Took the website down. No Texas.
Goodness.
Have y'all seen David?
Yeah, right. Can you imagine today he'd be Googled to death, right? I know he was here. I mean, you know, he killed his 10,000. It's got to be David out there somewhere.
Took his collar off.
Dude, I mean, it's got to be over when they're trying to force you to come against God's people and you refuse to do it. And so you start foaming at the mouth and scratching on the gate, acting like you're crazy. David's sitting here going, you know, they're fixing it's gotta be over when you're having to act crazy, right? Just to stay alive or just to keep from being partnering with those who are trying to bring harm to God's people. Put it that way. And he's like foaming at the mouth, scratching the gate, acting like it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's gotta be over at that point, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you two would have been around at that point, you know what I'm saying? His whole manager, like, that was the gate drooling incident. Do you remember that?
Could you explain that?
Anyway, so with that, you know, understand, it looked like it was over, but all of a sudden, one day, the Philistines wound Saul. His flesh wounded him to the point when he tells his own armor bearer, the people that were around him, just kill me. Mm-hmm. Kill me. I don't want to fall into the hands of the Philistines. You know, take me out. And, I mean, you think about it, David's probably thinking it's over. I mean, it's gotta be over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it's gotta be over. And then all of a sudden, his armor bearers go, no, I'm not going to do it. And he falls on his own sword. He does himself in.
Mm-hmm.
And the people come to David and they say, listen, we were always for you.
All right.
We always knew you heard from the Lord. Right.
I got those newsletters. I got them.
All of a sudden, you have like a lot of friending on your Facebook. Anyway, so then you know, if he only had 300 friends, I guess, on his Facebook at that point. Anyway, so he was only one for. Oh, that can mean. Anyway, so it looked like it was over, and so then they come to him and they say, "Listen, will you be our king? Will you be our king?" Because, and so they came to him. I mean, it looked like it was over, but understand this. It's not over till God says it's over. Mm. You will have to walk through experiences in your life. You've got to taste the what it's like to feel like it's over so you can understand the only thing you've come to the end of is yourself.
That's right.
And that's okay. It's a good experience because that's when God steps in. When your back is against the Red Sea and you got Pharaoh's army coming against you and you're sandwiched between drowning and being massacred, all you can do is look up and just go, God. And that's what he wanted us to do. He always wants us to look up. Mm-hmm. And then that's when God does his best work. Listen, what they're telling us in America and what they're saying, that's all a strategy. It's all a point to see what is God's people going to do. Are they going to look up or are they going to try to work with Pharaoh's army? Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to turn to making bricks again and say, listen, we just got to turn to government? Are we going to just go kill ourselves by drowning in the sea? Or are we just going to look up to God and say, God, here we are, you know, deliver us? And this is when our God delivers. He delivers at the point when you're sandwiched between inevitable destruction or massacre. I mean, that's where it is. And don't think it's over at that point, because what God did when Moses raised up his staff, as the Lord gave him a word, as he spent time with God, abiding, which we talk about all the time, God began to blow, and he blew so hard upon the Red Sea that it pushed the waters to the point that it split in two. The Red Sea split in two.
Right.
So think about it. They had the army of Pharaoh on one side going, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. You killed my son. You did all this stuff to my business and my kingdom, and we're going to kill you. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea parts. But he blows so hard on the Red Sea that even the ground that's under the sea, you can imagine how soft and mushy and gushy and, you know, things are in the bottom of a sea, because it's been water forever, you know. And but it, he blows, it dried the ground out. So God's people were able to walk over on dry ground. I mean, come on. It ain't over until God says it's over. Now, listen, if you buy into what they're saying, it's over for you.
That's right.
But if you understand how God works, and as a matter of fact, so we made available to you on VFN TV, and you can get this whole revelation that it ain't over till God says it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. You can get it at VFNTV.com.
And we're just talking about how it ain't over till God says it's over. Listen, no matter what you're facing, when Adam and Eve, let me tell you something, when there was ever a thought to, when there was ever a time to think that it was over, when you hear footsteps of God coming in,
yeah,
and starting asking you some questions that you know he already knows the answer,
exactly,
it's time to go row. This would be over. Eve, it was nice knowing you for these 2 days that we've been live here. It was Earth. This was all good concept, you know, great. I think he's about to start over. I think it's over for us. I think he's about to start over. Think about it.
I mean, how depressing that. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, think about it. I mean, they knew this was the beginning, right? I mean, they could have been like, you know, he is God. He is so awesome. How did we blow this? I mean, can you imagine that conversation? How did we blow this? We were the first ones.
Yeah.
We heard him talk about this vision. We heard him describe everything that's going to happen.
Think about how long they had to live with that guilt. That's back when they lived 900 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Could you imagine?
No. Don't want to.
No. Don't want to go there. Thank God our lives have been shortened.
Absolutely. And that whole dialogue that went back and forth. He's coming. He knows it. He saw it. We enjoyed this awesomeness. And Adam was like, I was all alone, me and these animals. You know what I'm saying? He gave me you. Like, how did this happen to us? And that's how sometimes tragedies happen in our life. We go, how did this happen? God blessed us. God, how did this happen in our home? How did this happen in our marriage? How did this happen with our kids? How did this happen in my, how did this happen? How did this happen? I feel like someone's listening today, like you fell into some sin and you're saying, how did this happen? And you're thinking it's over. God's done with me. You know, it's over. Let me tell you something. It may be over with, man. That's a whole different whole ball game. But it's never, ever, ever over with God. God is the God not only of second chances. He is the God of unlimited chances if we turn our hearts to him. Listen, the thing that you thought was going to take you out and destroy you may be the very best thing that ever could have happened in your life. Welcome that trial as a friend, because if you allow it to, if you allow it to, you can get bitter or you can get better. It's not just a difference of a couple of letters. It's a difference in your entire life.
Exactly.
Listen, look to Jesus. He is a way maker where there is no way. And he can rescue you no matter where you are at. And he'll turn your mess and make it your message. And he'll take your sadness and turn it to joy. He is awesome. And don't ever forget it.
It is amazing how this is all working.
it's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.